Welcome back to the show. Here we are again. I wanted to start the show with this. This is cool. That is Klee. Klee. That's the name of the song. Kingston is the artist. Christian rap
that was
song.
Cool.
Yeah, that was just a snidbit of it that I thought was really neat sounding in my headphones.
Snidbit
that I wanted to play.
The combination between a snip.
Set the tone for the show.
Tidbit.
Yeah.
Snippet and a tidbit. Snippet.
Snippet and a bud.
Rolling down the freeway with a rag top down, I gotta shuffle on the radio with rat face. And I got two blind squirrels in the morning, two blind squirrels tonight. Oh yeah, two blind squirrels in the morning. Radio on demand, it's all right.
All right, on today's show we're going to talk about multiple marriages.
Not multiple marriages, plural marriage. There's a difference between more than one marriage at a time or having being married to more than one person at
the
time.
In the morning, people radio on demand, it's all right.
This time you did it.
Well, that's because I couldn't get my thought process in order.
Well, I've had two wives.
So you're not plurally married.
Oh.
Because you weren't married to both of them at the same time, I hope.
No.
Okay, then. That's not a plural. Then you weren't plural. That's not a plural
There's
marriage.
There's other names for that, too.
That's a multiple marriage. That's multiple marriages. It's being married more than once.
Oh, okay. Well, first of all, we need to start off the show with saying that glasses of Coke and laptops don't mix.
I just dumped my cup all over the desk.
Man, right between shows, right at the end of the last show and the beginning of this show, that she spilled a full glass of Coke.
Yep.
Like 10 inches away from both our laptops.
Yeah, and it didn't get him.
Well, we survived. The crisis has been averted.
Ooh.
We got some sticky cords and stuff, yeah. But...
I washed them all off with cleaner.
Got a little Coke on this laptop.
Uh-oh. That's mine.
Oh.
Uh-oh. You get the little air gun thing you can blow in there?
How's
those
that?
Things actually
that better?
Do any good.
I use them at work all the time.
How come we don't have one at home?
You want me to bring one home?
I do.
From work? Or should I go buy my own?
Yeah, go buy your own. Don't bring one home.
I thought that's what they supplied them for us for.
No, darling.
No? Oh.
No, darling. That's called stealing.
Stealing?
Yeah.
Oh,
unless you're using it to work at home, which
I use my laptop.
You do use it. So if you were using it for your laptop, then it would be okay.
Okay. Well, good. I'm justified then in stealing.
It's not stealing if you're using it for work purposes, which you do work at home on Friday.
Okay. So I should only bring 1/5 of the bottle home?
No, you should only use it for your computer.
Oh. There you go.
Yeah. Got it all worked out?
Sure.
Okay. While you're at it, I need some sticky notes.
Okay. Whee! All right, let's see what we got here. We got some things here. Let's see what this is. This is what happens when you don't turn the volume up.
This is getting really old.
This is a comment from Wilkerson. Supposed to be, if my intern did his job right. He's not an intern. If my helper did his job right. This is Wilkerson.
Hey, Faith and Brad. See, I mentioned Faith first this time.
See, he mentioned you. This
yeah,
is Faith
I
and Brad.
Heard that. Yeah, I'm not so sure I want him to be mentioning me.
In the credits?
I don't think that was
credits,
really a good... good
I'm first. I just want you to know it's Brad and Faith's podcast, not the other way around. See, I got top billing.
Okay.
Just make that clear right now.
Okay. Just so you know who runs the joint.
He's supposed to be sending us... a comment on What the Hell show? On the show, What the Hell?
Mm-hmm. See, all you got to do is say something on the show, Faith, and someone will step up.
There
anyway,
you go.
I just was listening to your podcast about health, and Brad mentioned, you know, the difficulty with what about people who died 2,000 years ago, and now they're in Hades, and someone who died the day before Jesus returns, and blah, blah, blah. Well, there were some theologians who proposed the idea of the soul sleep, which I don't know if necessarily it really jives with Scripture, but the idea is this, that it's basically like falling asleep, and you wake up into eternity. So the idea is the same thing goes for those who receive a reward and those who don't receive a reward. We'll just use that terminology rather than heaven and hell. So if you are to receive your reward, you die, and the next thing you know, you're in heaven. Doesn't matter how much time passes; it really doesn't matter. And the same thing kind of happens with concern for those who are being punished. You die. Next thing you know, you are being eternally punished. It's just like waking up. Don't know whether or not that's true or not. I guess then maybe Hades would be more like a bad dream until you get to the lake of fire. I don't know. That would be a really bad dream, and definitely a reason not to eat pizza, really spicy pepperoni pizza, before you go to bed at night. That's all I wanted to say. Don't forget to check out Jesus Geek Podcast over at JesusGeek.info. Bye.
Bye, sir. Yeah, I've heard of the soul sleep before. It's based on a lot of things that Paul said about the Christians falling asleep. Don't be discouraged by those who fall asleep. And I think Paul's point was is that he wanted to separate physical death from spiritual death.
Right.
I think that was his point. Again.
But it's used in both ways, though.
We're all speculating.
Through Scripture. It's used as falling asleep has been used as falling asleep spiritually. But then it's also been used as falling asleep as in they were dead, but they're only asleep for a short time before, but we don't know where they're at in the meantime.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we do know, like Moses and Abraham, I mean, he spoke of them, but Jesus went to Hades and got them or went there.
Yeah, well, okay.
We don't really know what he did there. Did he take them?
We know very little, and we probably know very little on purpose.
Yes.
Okay. We do know that when Samuel was raised by Saul, Saul went to a witch and had the witch summon Samuel. Isn't that right? Was it Samuel? Was it Samuel?
Keep talking.
It was Samuel who named Saul, who appointed Saul as king. I think so. Anyway, I may get the names confused, but Saul went to a witch and summoned up somebody, but he was chasing David or whatever. Remember? You don't remember this?
David was Solomon's father.
Yeah, but before David was Saul.
Right.
Saul.
And before him was Solomon.
No.
No, there was another Solomon.
No, there was nobody before Saul. Saul was the first king.
No, but I'm not talking about him. I'm going backward. So there was David, and then there was Saul.
And then there was nobody.
Who was the priest is what I'm finding.
Samuel.
Samuel. Thank you.
That's what I'm saying. Isn't that what I said?
Yeah, that's what you said.
Okay. So the point is that Saul went to this priest and roused Samuel. And he says, why did you disturb my sleep?
Oh,
why did you disturb my peace?
Yeah.
It depends on how it's translated. So you've got that note. Then you've got, Jesus telling a story about Lazarus, the rich man, and Lazarus, and Lazarus dies and goes to Abraham's bosom, but you never hear him speak. So you kind of think maybe he's restfully resting in Abraham's bosom or something.
Yeah, you don't really know.
But Lazarus is awake. I mean, I'm sorry, the rich man is awake because he's calling out, hey,
hello.
Somebody dip their finger in some water and put it on my tongue. So maybe there is only rest. Maybe there is only that type of whatever that sleep rest thing is, if
that
you are in,
rest,
you know, if you take that story literally, maybe that only exists there. However, we don't even know if that place exists anymore.
Yeah. Or if it was just for then. Yeah.
Yeah. Because Jesus went there supposedly and let all of them out of there.
Well, that's what we think.
That's what it says. It says he went,
but
he descended and then.
Yeah. But.
And then he came back to earth and he hadn't been to the Father yet.
I don't know. Yeah.
It's very complicated. And like I said, I think it's vague on purpose because it's not supposed to be our focus. But the point is that we don't really know what happens now. But we do know that Paul says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Okay? Mm-hmm. So this is another thing we know. We know that if we're absent from the body, we'll be present with the Lord.
Right. In some shape, way, or form. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so we have that sort of peace. Mm-hmm. You know? And I don't think, bottom line is, there's nothing in the Bible that says if you're in Christ, if you have a relationship with Christ, you're going to be okay.
Yeah.
you're going to be in a place that's going to be better than this.
Yeah.
But if you don't have a relationship with Christ, when you die, things that are happening to you after that are going to be bad, and things that you don't want to happen.
No.
So I think we can all agree on that, no matter where we fall, except for the universal reconciliationists who believe that we'll all go to heaven
in the end.
There you go. That one was blank.
Hi, Faith. This is Winston. You were saying you didn't get enough voicemails, so this one is all for you. And
what is this? She says one thing, and now it's like, oh, everybody's going to call into Faith. Everybody's about Faith now. It's all about Faith. Well, you know, I was here before Faith.
You don't know this by now?
Yes, I do know this by now, that it is all about Faith. But not you. I mean, Faith.
Mm-hmm.
All about you. I have a true confession for you. So if you have true confessions music, you can feel free to cue it up now.
Oh, true confessions music? Oh, he's talking about... What's he talking about?
Do you have music for true confessions?
I got all kinds of music.
That's not it? No.
How about that?
It's not really a true confession. That's more like, get down, bogey. No. No. You're not really getting the whole jive of true confessions. It's like ominous. Do, 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 do. Seriously.
What? I'm sorry. I was getting into that.
Play the call.
Well, just hum something ominous.
Just did.
Omnibus?
Oh, good Lord. Please just play this.
You are the reason that I started listening to Two Blind Squirrels.
Faith is the reason you started listening to Two Blind Squirrels?
Come on, I want to hear the rest of it.
The Jaded Visalians had recommended this show so highly, I checked it out, listened to these two goofy guys talk, and thought, it's all right. And periodically, I would try back just out of guilt. And then I tuned into an episode or loaded up an hour, however it works. But I loaded on an episode, and lo and behold, it was not Brad and Chaz. It was Brad and Faith. And I thought, you know what? This might be more like Jen and Dave's show. I can listen to this. And I have stuck with it ever since. So aww. Yay for Faith. You're doing a wonderful job.
How cool is that?
Thank you very much.
We have a confirmed listener who listens to the show only because you're on the show.
That's cool.
That's a first right there.
Yeah.
Although I think there's more, but because we've had a lot of new members since you started.
That's pretty cool.
Doing it with me, but
that is cool. You made my day. Thank you.
Look at that. You made, Winston, you made her day.
You're so sweet.
He's smiling right now. He's going, that was me.
Sweet.
That was me. All right. You want to play the last one? We got one more. You're going to wait on it. To the next show.
No, go ahead.
You sure?
Yeah.
Positive?
Go.
Well, let's wait. She's all psyched. She's like, oh, these are good. These are all about me. Yeah, we got to spread them out, though. We can't give them all at the same time.
It's because you don't want to talk about plural marriage. You're just trying to do anything you can and not have to talk about that.
No, I'm ready. Go ahead. I'm ready.
Are you going to have a call?
Plural marriage.
Plural marriage?
Plural marriage. Go ahead.
More than one at a time.
More than one at a time.
Okay.
Are we done?
What is your aggression to this subject?
It creeps me out. It's like a modern day harem. It creeps me out. But it's not okay. When you think of harem,
you think of like
sexy
good
girls walking around with in little grapes. Negligees and grapes, feeding you grapes one at a time, and playing a harp. You know, there's all these women laying around, and you're in a palace, you know, and everything is good, and they're happy to be there, and you're happy to be there, and that's not what this is. This is a bunch of very homely looking women dressed in a lot of very restrictive clothing in a very restrictive environment where it's like, if you blink the wrong way, we're going to beat you to death.
Nobody said about anything about abuse. Nobody said they were had been abused.
I thought that physically. Yeah, they said they were raped, physically abused.
Nobody has said that.
Shamed and not physically abused, but they said they were raped.
They were not beaten.
It's a 14-year-old and a 19-year-old. That's statutory.
Here's the deal. What's his name? Jeffries?
Yeah.
The guy who's in prison now.
Yeah. And besides that, they did it in Texas, which really ticks me off.
Yeah, but accessory to rape because he arranged marriages with 14-year-old girls to, you know, her cousin. Actually, the girl who blew the whistle on him, which is why he's in jail, wrote a book, and I saw an interview with her.
Mm-hmm.
She got out. She was 14. It's just, this is very interesting. Okay.
Okay. Why is it interesting?
Because people, the reason it interests me so much is because people become so brainwashed. Now, these people think they're Christians, okay?
Mm-hmm.
They're fundamentalist Latter-day Saints, okay? So they're Mormons only to the extreme because Mormons they don't believe in polygamy anymore. So they say, okay? They say they don't, right? The Mormon Church has denounced polygamy. Is this, are you listening to me?
Yes, I am.
Are you going to answer me?
Yes, yes. The Mormons believe in polygamy. They used to believe in polygamy, but they've sort of outlawed it now. So now they branched off. Go ahead.
Okay. So now there's all these sects of the Latter-day Saints that are fundamentalist groups that have branched off. And that's what we've been hearing about lately. This whole Jeffries, the prophet, mm-hmm. and who is in prison, who, you know, has been arranging marriages for these young girls to older men. Okay, but it just, because they're so brainwashed and they're in this world, okay, they're out in the mm-hmm. in the middle central Texas, or, you know, or in Colorado City, or where's the other one, in Utah, they're just in like in the middle of the desert, and they've got these huge fences around them, and they're completely cut off from the world. And so their reality is what these men tell them the reality is. They don't know anything else because there's no television, there's no radio, there's nothing. So what they're taught is what they know is what these people are telling them, which is not a whole lot, okay, other than religious beliefs.
But they also tell them that the world is crazy and if they leave, they couldn't survive
right,
on their own.
Because the world is awful and that, you know, and horrible.
Well,
and
the world is awful and horrible, but it's better than being in there.
Yeah. And so anyway, this 14-year-old girl, the perspective that I got from this situation,
yes.
The whole raid that they did on the compound in Texas back a couple months ago, whenever mm-hmm. that was, when they took all the 400 children,
yeah,
that she was there for that to help them communicate with the people and the women in the compound and the children because their language is somewhat different.
I don't understand. They even have a different, like, well, when you say their language is different, you're talking about their terms?
She's saying their terms for things.
Like what?
Like she'll say the prophetic father or the prophetic head or the father head. They've got these names for things for people that we don't know what they mean.
Like father, like, and this is talking
there's
about
like
their
a,
dad or
the
their husband.
Well,
or
there's
something?
A prophet, like the Jeffries guy was the prophet, and then there's other prophets, and then there's their father. Who is like the head of the family, and then there's all these different head these men that are different heads in their family, and the women really have no rights whatsoever, and their greatest goal in life is to be married. From the time they're old enough to speak, their greatest goal and the way they're going to get to heaven is to get married and have children. That is their goal, and that's what they're taught. You want to get to heaven, you get married, and you be a good wife and you have children, have babies. And that's how you're going to get to heaven.
If you don't get married, you won't go to heaven.
Well, that's just not going to happen because they're going to marry off. It's not your choice who you marry. They arrange it.
And then they also
teach?
And
the men, the boy you marry doesn't have the choice either.
Now, is it true or false? Because I've heard this is a rumor. This isn't a fact. That they teach that the women, when they get to heaven, will just have spiritual babies after that?
Yes, that's a Mormon belief now. I would assume that these people think that,
too. Is that
a
rumor or true thing?
No, that's a true thing. The Mormons believe that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Is it true that the Mormons have three heads? Because I've heard that, too.
No.
Okay, just no. checking.
Mormons are very nice people.
I'm sure they are.
Yeah, very lovely, nice people.
I'm sure they are. But I, I only know them because when our friends, one of our friends married a Mormon, and we went to the wedding in Reno, and we danced, and we had a good time at the wedding because we were celebrating like our friends. And they looked at, they sat over in little tables and stared at us like we were from another planet.
Well, they all, they which were condemning
made
us, us.
Which made us dance even worse than we probably should have. We were very
rebellious. But she said that, that like, you know, when remember when you saw the interviews, like on CNN and stuff, you saw the interviews that, that when they asked these women, these mothers, you know, we just want our kids back. We, you know, they just wanted their kids back.
Yeah.
They were saying that 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 there's they don't make them do anything. They can leave if they want to leave, and so on and so forth. Well, this woman who wrote this book, who has gotten out of this very compound that, that these people took, that the government took, the CPS took the children from in Texas, she said, you, the women are so brainwashed that they think that they can leave because they can go to town. You know, like they can go to town, so they can leave their little compound and they can drive to town.
Oh, really?
To buy groceries and yeah, and some of them may even work in town, but the police in the town are all FLDS.
Oh, really? Every, what's FLDS stand for?
Fundamentalist Latter-day Saints. They're all, everybody around is fundamentalist Mormon, so...
So they feel like they have more freedom than they actually have? They think they have
freedom because they can go to the grocery store and they can leave the compound. But if they ever tried to leave, they would not have the freedom to take their children and leave.
Ah.
Okay, you can't...
So they packed all their kids in the car and drive down the highway, somebody would stop them.
Oh, yeah. You would, you know, turn around and repent, you know, kind of thing. Now, I don't know. I mean, nobody has ever said anything about physical abuse or anything, and I'm not going to say that that happens. But... they are they're if you call underage marriage and sex to a minor, that's abuse to me. Okay, this girl said she was 14 and her father made an announcement. All of her brothers and sisters were sitting there, all of the mothers were in the room. He made this big announcement that several of his daughters were going to get married. It was just this family announcement. I've got several of my daughters are going to get married. And then later he took her aside with her mother and said, you're one of them that's going to get married. And she thought he must have me confused with one of my other sisters. Are you sure it's me you're talking about? I'm only 14 and I have older sisters who you know, are much older than me. I'm not old enough to get married. Yeah, yeah, you're the one. And he was marrying her to her cousin. First cousin.
Ew.
And they the question was asked, the reporter asked, weren't you worried about, I mean, what did they say about birth defects, about intermarrying and that kind of thing? They said the prophet said that God ordained this marriage, and so God would take care of that.
Now, do they do that often? Do they do the first cut?
They won't do like sisters and brothers or fathers, and they don't do that kind of thing. But they do first. That happens a lot, she said.
But so, is there a lot of birth defects, or does no?
She didn't say. She didn't go into it, but
do a lot of them go.
But anyway, so she said that she, when she
happened went, a lot in the royal family too. So.
Yeah, there you have it. And look what they looked like.
Yeah, there were some special people.
So she said that she went to the prophet, the guy who's now in prison, and she begged to get, she said, please let me have 2 more years to grow up. I'm not ready. I'm still too young. I'm not ready to get married. Please just let me dream. No, no, it's time. You're going to get married. So they made her get married. And she says they go on this honeymoon with several of the other people who got married on the same day with them. They all go on this honeymoon together. You know, like six couples
where
all
they go?
Together. Or they like went to Arizona on this road trip kind of deal. Okay?
Yeah.
And she had yet to kiss him. I mean, it was days into... their marriage, apparently. And so one of the girls dared her to kiss him, and she didn't. Well, there's a picture of her, like, you know, putting her arms up against herself, and he was putting his arms on her trying to kiss her, and she was trying to pull away. And she explained to him, she said, I was terrified. I never kissed anybody. I didn't know what I didn't know what this was. And I'm thinking, you're 14. How on earth do you not know what kissing is? She said, I didn't know how babies were made. I'd never seen anybody's anatomy. Other than I'd never seen a man's anatomy. I'd never had it explained to me how babies were made. I thought beds were for sleeping only. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that when you got married, things happened in your bed other than sleeping. I had no idea. She said I was completely naive, and nobody ever talked about it. Her mother never told her.
Other things are supposed to happen?
Do we need to have a talk?
No. I think I got it.
Okay. So she was completely, she said, and most girls, that is the case. They have no idea. And they're not supposed to talk about it.
But now the fathers talk about it with the sons?
She didn't say.
They just put two kids together and let them work it out.
She probably didn't know because you don't talk about the kind of stuff. That's between a man and his wife and that's it. That's, you don't talk about that stuff. That's the marital relationship. That's how they refer to it. It's never not even referred to as sex. It's not referred to as intercourse. It's referred to as the marriage relationship. And nobody talks about it but you and your husband. That's it.
I'm okay
And
with
so
that.
If any bad things happen,
yeah,
nobody's going to know about it. Because you can't talk. You can't ask questions to somebody about what's going to happen. She had no idea. She didn't know what to expect. So she was terrified and horrified. Can you imagine? Being 14, and basically, she was screaming, please stop, stop, stop it. I don't know what you're doing. Stop it. It was awful.
That's a little disconcerting. Yes. I could have lived without knowing that.
Sorry, but that was what was in the book. And it was just, that is the kind of thing that scares me about these...
That's a rape.
Whatever you want to call
no matter what age, that's a rape.
Well, and he was brought on trial, and he's in the middle of facing charges for that. And so anyway, she was married for a few years and she got out. She had a flat tire. She was going into the store. Mm-hmm. She got a flat tire and this man helped her, and he had been in the cult, in like another one, but he'd been in the Latter-day compound or whatever.
Yeah.
But he got out because he didn't like the abuse that was going on with the young underage. So they became mm-hmm. friends and got to know each other, and he helped her get out.
Oh, well, that was cool of him.
And anyway, so they ended up getting married, and they now have two children many years later. But she's the one, and her sister got out, and, you know. And
he's 70 what?
No, he's young. He looks like he's about 40, 30-something.
Okay.
Maybe. He looks pretty young. I mean, she's pretty young, too. But she was very candid, yet not unkind. She loves them very much, and she understands that these women don't know any better. They don't even know that what's happening to them is wrong. And so when you ask them, do you feel like marrying your 13-year-old daughter off is not a good thing for them, they say, no, that's what we strive for. We strive for our girls to be married. That's what they long for.
Not all the time. Sometimes they beg not to be married.
But you know, I can't imagine any 13-year-old begging to get married and want that to happen. I mean, you have no understanding what's going on, especially if you've had no education whatsoever. Okay? I mean, it's one thing to have some kind of idea of what's going to happen. I mean, it's still freaky out and scary. But to have absolutely no idea how babies are made when you're 14, not even know?
Okay.
And my whole point in all this.
You have a point?
Yes. The reason that I'm beating people
you
down.
You bring so much to this show.
Yeah.
The reason. And the fact that you bring things to the show that have a point, because that's a. We don't do that on this show. You need to find another show.
Okay.
This is not the show for points, man.
Sorry, I'll go find.
You got
my own.
Points. You need to make them like Grace Junkies or something.
Oh, okay.
Go over the Jedi Vassilion.
Okay, I won't make a point then. I'm done.
He's got a pointy head.
I'm done.
No, I'm sorry. Make your point. Seriously.
my point is that...
I was just adding a little levity.
We as Christians, you know, they consider themselves as Christians. We need to be very careful about what we allow ourselves to get sucked into, I think. Sometimes you can really... You can go down this line of thought and end up in a very bad place. You know, you just can go a little too far and end up in Crazyville.
Go down through the town there and make a left at the old Johnson place. Crazyville, right on top of that hill.
I mean, Satan is doing a little dance. He's just having a heyday.
Okay, okay, so now you've gone here, so now we have to actually get serious for a minute.
Okay.
I've been serious.
I don't know where you've been. You're just getting here?
Yeah. I've been in Crazyville. we are very, you know, we teach grow kids God's way. And we don't make any bones about it that we have led grow kids God's way. We minister grow kids God's way. We disciple grow kids God's way. We do grow kids God's way in our family.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We follow the, we are discipled by the Ezos. So, however, they actually teach, they have one teaching that we don't like at all. And that is they believe you shouldn't talk to your kids about sex.
Mm-hmm.
Period. Ever. Really.
Well, they do say if they ever ask, they give this weird look at a tulip and business.
It to me, it's dangerous in the world we live in. Now, mm-hmm. you know, 200, 300 years ago. But okay, but what they are doing is they're reacting to the fact that there is way too much sex
right.
education, way too much sex exposure, way too much sex which talked about. In a, you know, in an access way. I mean, my only exposure to sex before I was 12 was songs.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't have a clue what they were talking about.
I didn't know what they meant.
So I just made up my own meanings in my head.
Mm-hmm.
Some of those were very wrong, by the way. but in our day and age, you've got to counteract what they're getting everywhere else.
Yeah, you can't pretend.
You can't just bury your head in the sand or take your kid's head and bury it in the sand and pretend that it doesn't exist. And, you know, Hannah doesn't go to public school and we try to keep track of what she's watching on television and we monitor every second of her computer time. But at the same time, you know, I mean, people just the way people talk today, even maybe not at church, but, you know, at events and around, mm-hmm. and I mean, even adults talk today way more freer about sex than when we were kids.
Oh yeah,
and so you can't just, you know, like I said, you can't ignore it. And everybody's different; everybody's got their own things going on. But I just, that's just one that we understand why they're doing it. They react, they're pulling back the other way because they think that there's way too much going on. And there is way too much going on.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, that road leads to bad.
Yeah, nothing good can come from...
But, I mean, their idea is preserve your child's innocence as long as possible.
Well, you can preserve their innocence with information.
Yeah, thank you.
Yes.
It's why me and you are married.
You can... There's nothing wrong with a little well-placed information.
Information, I was raised on a farm, okay? Information does not negate innocence.
Right.
Okay? There's other things that do that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of that comes from curiosity.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my point.
Good.
That's it.
So, but yes. I guess you're saying that grow kids... Even though you have to be like a Berean in Acts. You have to look at everything.
You have to
study it. You can't take everything at face value. You can't just take it all at a blanket. You can't blanket it all and take it and say, you've got to just look at everything and pay attention to what
That's
you're
why.
Doing and what you're putting in your head and what you're listening to and what you're... Who you're allowing... Whose theology you're allowing in.
That's why we are... Evangelical free radicals.
Yes.
Because we believe the Bible, even if it disagrees with the Ezos, even if it disagrees with our pastor, mm-hmm. even if it disagrees with what we believed yesterday.
Yeah.
We believe the Bible and that is an ever present doctrine. It's not a set doctrine. It's the more you learn, the more you know.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, you know, these people in these cult. I mean, I'm calling it a cult because they can't get out.
Hey, if you have a compound,
you're not letting people in and out freely.
B, if there's institutionalized rape, I'm calling that a compound.
Yeah, I'm thinking that's a cult.
I'm calling that a cult.
It's about religious, and it's a religious compound. It's a cult. Now, we're not going to get into how they went
we're not
doing all that.
It's about. We're 34 minutes into the show, so.
But just be careful.
Be careful. But at the same time, we need to reach out to those victims.
Oh, definitely.
I mean, these are victims who we need to pray for them.
These poor kids are getting culture shock.
And look, I'm not trying to defend the 19-year-old, but he was raised in that mess too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So,
right.
I'm not going to defend him, but at the same time, you know, we need to pray for him because he's having a, you talk about a culture shock. Yeah. He's going from that to prison.
Yeah. Hoy.
So there's going to be some shocking going on.
Uh-huh.
That's all.
Okay.
All right.
This is serious.
I don't know. Very serious show. I don't like the serious shows as much. I mean, it's good. I'm not saying we shouldn't have done it. It was a great topic and all. But not as much fun, really.
Yes, but it's good to be serious.
Not as much fun as skate songs.
Yeah.
Calls to faith.
Much more interesting. Oh, yeah. I get another call next show.
Tomorrow's Friday. Yay!
For Friday.
So tomorrow we will have another call and from you guys. And I don't remember what
to
the
go to
topic.
The dentist on Friday.
You do?
Uh-huh.
You go to the dentist tomorrow? Are you going to be talking like this in tomorrow's show?
No.
You're talking like this because your half your mouth be all like...
I'm just getting a cleaning.
Drugged up and it'd be
if
like
if you went
numb.
To the dentist, you
like
would
half
know.
Your mouth would be numb.
You would know if you actually like ever this. Went to the dentist that only happens if you have cavities, and I don't. I'm getting a cleaning.
I don't have any cavities. You know why I don't have any cavities? I don't go to the dentist.
Yeah, that's why your tooth is brown, about ready to fall out.
My tooth is brown because it's not my tooth.
Well, and because you never got it replaced.
It was knocked out by my little brother when I was 9 years old.
Uh-huh. And you never went back and got the permanent one, a veneer. You
need I tried to go, to go and no, get no, no, that no, no, done. No, 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 no. I tried to go back and get the permanent
That's because you went to the wrong dentist.
Tried to go back and get the permanent one.
You went to the wrong dentist.
Instead, they took a sharp metal object and scraped all the good stuff off my teeth.
That wasn't good.
And poked me
I
in the...
I hate to break it to you.
And take and,
Brad,
and,
Brad has some serious issues with dentists.
And poked me in the.
And
in
if you,
the,
but if you the, went to our dentist, to Dr. Hodges' son-in-law, you would be fine. He's a very nice dentist, and my teeth are very nice.
Trav's a vet too.
Your it's cool, isn't it?
Yeah, your teeth are pretty.
Cool car.
It's pretty cool. It's not my pick, but it's a cool car.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're
Miles,
not.
Can you use
you want squares? They're gooder than pie.
This show was sponsored by the grace of Jesus Christ. If you'd like to have your life sponsored by the creator of the universe, then go to a Bible near you and turn to Romans 3:23, where it says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." But what does this mean? It means that before a holy and perfect God, we are all broken. If you know this to be true, then you must admit that you are a sinner. Sin separates us from God and prevents us from being in His presence. Now, once you've admitted you are a sinner, you must be willing to turn from sin. In Romans 6:23, it says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord." So how do we become right with God? We need a way to be forgiven for our sins, and that way is through the sacrifice and raising up of Jesus Christ. In Romans 5:8, it says, "But God demonstrates His own love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Through prayer, invite Jesus into your life to become your personal Savior. It says in Romans 10:10, "For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved." It also says in Romans 10:13, "For whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." If you know these things in your heart, then here's an example of what you might pray. Dear God, I am a sinner and I need forgiveness. I believe that Jesus Christ shed His blood and died for my sin. I'm willing to turn from sin, and I ask Jesus to come into my heart and my life as my personal Savior. Open yourself up to the infinite grace of God, and it will change your life for eternity. This offer is non-refundable. Valid in all states. No further purchase is necessary.